Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Across the Romaverse. It's Steve here with Brandon. He's back after somehow skipping out on that Atalanta match. He knew preemptively that for some reason Roma wouldn't get it done. Maybe he knew the European hangover always hits Roma hard. But Jimmy's not with us tonight, so it's just the two of us. We're recording about 48 hours after Roma's draw with Milan at the Olimpico. Brandon, I know it's been about 2 days now, but it still hurts a little bit.
Yeah, especially because I did miss last week. I was so excited to come on here and be like, guys, good luck, charm. I know I'm coming on. We got the win against the top four rival. Let's go. And then, sure enough, some defensive frailties at the back. One of Roma's, Roma's bread and butter this season lets them down in the last minute. And the points are shared. It's probably a fair result given the performances of both sides in the match, but we were so agonizingly close. And now with the results the rest of the way, we're kind of mired in no man's land in the table right now. So it's still all to play for, but definitely a missed opportunity.
Yeah. And when you say it was a pretty even game in terms of, I don't think either team did a whole ton to create, but at the same time, when Roma got that goal in the 93rd minute through Tam, you're like, wow, we're going to get the 3 points here. I thought Roma had the better chances, so to speak, throughout the match, but weren't a ton. It actually, according to FB reference, the final XG tally was one each, and we finished with one. I don't think I've ever seen an XG match the exact scoreline, 1.0 to 1.0. So from that respect, I guess you could say it was a fair point, but Mourinho bemoaned it after the match. He was hurt by it, they said on the broadcast, it was the first time Roma had conceded a stoppage time goal all season. That was something that historically, at least in my time as a fan, has bitten us a few times to either drop 2 points or drop all 3 points. And it bit at the wrong time in this one.
Yeah, it sucks. It's unfortunate. And as you said, it's something that we kind of haven't really had to worry about. That's really not something that you see unless you're one of the elite clubs across Europe. And even then kind of come crunch time when they need to hold on to a lead, sometimes it gets a little dicey for them as well. So the fact that that's the first goal in extra time that Roma have conceded this season is a crazy statistic, but it's a credit to the development that they're doing. I guess, you're going to have some regression to the mean at some point. And so it sucks that this was the match that it happened in. And what's worse is the way that I looked at the result is, when we played Napoli that first time and Osimhen got that late winner after things were very, very tight. Once Tammy scored, I said, okay, this is the other side of that where we don't really deserve all 3 points, but, Tammy had a moment of brilliance, got that goal, and this is going to be our version of that, and it's going to propel us into the Champions League next season, because you have a 3-point lead over Milan with 4 or 5 games left to play. That's it's pretty good odds once you get past Inter on the weekend. So definitely a bummer that we couldn't see out those last 2 minutes, but I guess just to tie it all together, it's a credit to them for being so stable at the back thus far this season.
Yeah, for sure. And when you look at the overall picture, I mean, in this match and overall in the season, us and Milan, we've kind of been mirror images in terms of points on the table, goal differential. In this one, both teams had 11 shots, one on target. I mean, both teams scored on their only shot on target. Tammy's was a great shot that was pretty much unstoppable from Magnan's perspective, because you back him to stop anything that's within his, you know, like field of his arm length or whatever you want to call it. Rui's a little regrettable, I thought. Not an easy save, but it went through his five hole, which is always a little bit frustrating, especially the type of shot it was. It wasn't like a rocket by any means. I mean, I know he's come up big in some moments. Other moments he's been shaky. He's trying to show his age a little bit. I know Bren had a tweet for him after, in the moment. I know Bren is not his biggest fan. I mean, how much you blame Rui on that play?
I mean, I certainly get the argument to lay blame on Rui's feet, but at the same time, I don't. The center back should have been covering better. I think, you know, Abanez, if I remember correctly, he gets like a little shove from CDK, goes down a little too easy there, where he could have jumped up and gone the way of Salamaker's line of sight to maybe not get on the ball so readily. And then I think, was it Mancini who was covering Salamaker's on the play, if I recall correctly?
Yeah, Mancini kind of like headed it, right? And headed it right to somebody.
Yeah. I can't remember the specifics off the top of my head. But,
and then someone pushed, was it Solbakken who got pushed in the back? Someone got pushed in the back that...
Well, that's what I was saying. Abanez.
Was it Abanez that got pushed? Yeah, maybe it was Abanez.
Yeah. And so it's just a combination of factors that led to the goal. And I think Rui definitely should have saved it, but coming across your goal bodies all in front of you, I mean, it's unlucky, I think, more than the fault of Rui. But and you know, it's, look at Mourinho's post-match comments. He wasn't upset at, he was disappointed that they, you know, gave up the goal at the end, but proud of the performance overall. I think if it was something that was unforgivable, Mourinho would have no qualms about airing it out. So, you know, Rui's had some big moments, and yeah, he has had some lapses, but that's why we're being linked to goalies left and right. And so you'd think his replacement or more ready air, since Svilar doesn't seem to be at that point yet, you know, Rui's replacement is coming in. So at this point in the season, nothing you can do about it. It sucks, but I think it's kind of a collective mistake.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a collective. It was kind of a broken play, and it is unfortunate it went through his legs. Maybe a Magnan type keeper makes that save. Maybe a younger, more quick off the line keeper makes that save. You could play that game all day. But you're right, Mourinho, if he felt there was like an egregious mistake there by one of his men, he's had no problem calling those kind of mistakes out. And lately, he has played the card of the more proud coach, because he knows the injury issues his team is dealing with. So in the course of the match, Romelu lost Max Kumbula. You know, we were worried about him not being match fit. He ends up blowing his knee ligament out in the course of the match, so his season is done. Andrea Belotti, torn cartilage in his ribs. He came off at halftime. It was kind of a forced move to start him up top with Tammy Abraham to begin with, and now that's two more players down. So this is just how Mourinho summed up the match. He was asked if he was more pleased with the performance or angry about the last-minute equalizer, and he said, if we talk about the performance, I think the result is an unfair one on us, because we're the only team who could be capable of playing the way we did against Milan today with the difficulties we have. We're not a rich club, and we don't have a huge squad. Whenever we lose a player, it's a big problem, and we haven't lost just one. We lost many. Yet despite all these difficulties, we've managed to produce this performance against Milan, whilst challenging for a target, a top four finish. That would be sensational if we were to achieve it. For this reason, I'm more proud than I am angry. Of course, I'm sad because we were so close to getting 3 points, but I'm more proud than sad. And the injuries are piling up. And you wonder how much Smalling's absence, because they held out for a long time without him. Cristante dropped to the center back position. I just want to double check the minute that Kumbula got hurt, but it was early.
I think it was the 15th.
Yeah, very early that he came off. 15th minute, Bove came on for Kumbula. So you're talking 75 minutes with Cristante there. Who's played in that back three before? But we know the issues that Roma had when he played there. Held out for all that time, plus stoppage time in the first and second half. And so almost 85 minutes, I'd say, between the two stoppage times. And then they finally let one in. So it's hard to say it's all because Smalling was out, but you wonder on like that broken play, if maybe having three natural center backs there helps a little bit. But the Smalling injury, you wonder how much it's going to hurt them in this near to long term, depending on how long that injury is.
Well, you know, I would have thought that they would have been okay having Kumbula fill in, but obviously that's not an option now. And so do you resort to a back four, play Celik in his more natural right back role? That's something for Mourinho to think about. But as you said, they held out very stoutly for 97 minutes, what have you. And it was just a freak play that kind of led to the equalizer. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mourinho is just sticking with the system till the wheels fall off, so to speak, and continuing to play with the three-man back line and having Cristante fill that role. I think at this stage of the season, it's probably more likely that he does that, especially with Wijnaldum getting closer to full fitness. Again, Dybala as well. You could see a scenario where if he needs to, he'll play Pellegrini in the middle alongside Matic or Bove, who Bove himself also put his shoulder. So we're edging ever closer to the Space Jam scene where the Toon Squad is just all on the bench, hooked up to ventilators and whatnot.
Yeah. It's a shame, too, because I thought Bove had a pretty good game. They didn't say anything post-match that he's going to miss time or anything, but he did. You saw him holding his shoulder. Like,
right.
It is starting to become the walking wounded at the wrong time. We've seen plenty of Roma seasons in the past 5-6 years where they have been the walking wounded. And for this season, outside of Wijnaldum and those, you know, couple spurts that Dybala was out, this team's stayed fairly healthy for the most part. Karsdorp, obviously, with the issues, too. But all things considered, Mourinho's almost first two full seasons have been two of our healthier ones, I want to say, from memory, from what we've seen.
I'll put it this way. When it was announced that Kumbula had torn his ACL, it took me by surprise, whereas a few years ago, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, ACL.
So a couple of years ago, ACL was the norm.
Right, yeah. So they very much improved in that aspect.
Yeah, and Mourinho was asked about the formation in the post-match presser. He was asked if he liked playing two up top. Because he did start Belotti with Abraham, and it was a bit of a surprise. And, you know, he went with that rather than playing Alshaarawy or Solbakken or something. And he said, some coaches play the way they want. They choose their playing style. They choose their formation. They choose their players, and they choose players who can play lots of different ways. If player A can't play, then player D plays, and it's the same thing. If player D doesn't play, then player C does, and nothing changes. We have to put together a different team for every match based on who we have available. So I'd rather not answer that sort of question, which is logical. I prefer to say that my players have been fantastic, and it's only – thanks to our team spirit that we're still in the position we're in, trying to give our all to the very end. And then he was asked about the injuries to Smalling, Llorente, and now Kumbula, and if he'd consider switching formations. And he said, our women's team won the Scudetto today, and I'll take this opportunity to congratulate the coach and the players. They have a center back who used to play for Bayern Munich, who's very good. Maybe she can come in and play for us. So
let's go. Bring her in.
I'm ready. Not answering the question directly. He's obviously, you know, like we've heard him say plenty of times this year, he doesn't have the squad depth that maybe he would have had it at his days in Chelsea or Real Madrid or United or even probably Spurs at this point. But, you know, he's complimenting his players. Team spirit has been there. It was there again on Saturday after Kumbula went down. Cristante stepped in and played pretty well. And then he just, I guess, took the opportunity to congratulate the women's team and throw out that we'll take any – not anyone, not to insult the women's player, but – just basically, we'll, you know, if you're an able-bodied center back and you can play, we'll consider it because we need bodies right now is kind of what it is. I saw that one of the Primavera center backs would get called up for the Monza match on the midweek just to have a third center back available, but I doubt he plays. So if that's the way that he's sticking with, it's probably Cristante, like you said, in the middle of the park or middle of the defense, and then you figure out the center of the park depending on Wijnaldum's availability, Bove's availability, and you go from there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the more I think about it, the more I'm in the camp that he's going to stick with the back three, especially because in addition to all the reasons that you just discussed, these players are all, they thrive on their confidence, more so than your average player. And so I think messing with the formation, putting questions into their head, as opposed to letting it ride with the system that they're very, very familiar with at this point, and hoping for the best in terms of the personnel that you have available, I think is the route to go. So, yeah, I think the more you think about it, I would definitely lean more towards him sticking with the back three, and him playing coy with his comments, I think, further fuels that, because you're not going to come out and saying, yeah, we're just going to stick with the back three the whole way.
Yeah, I think he's always going to play coy, and any smart manager will. They're not going to give away too much, especially when they're playing with such a limited roster now, considering the injuries. I did read that Wijnaldum, according to Marzio, was pretty close and was even almost ready for the weekend against Milan. So you have to think maybe he'll be on the bench on Wednesday at the minimum, maybe work his way in, and then he's available Saturday, which gives you that extra option in the midfield. Kamara got a little cameo, which I was surprised.
I was so hoping. Yeah, I was so hoping that he was going to score on that first time volley that he took.
Yeah, he had a good look
after he got on.
Yeah. I want to say the one thing I noticed, and they did, and this is compliments to Celik and Mancini on that right side. I thought they did really well against Leao. I thought Leao was very quiet. The announcers pointed out a few times they limited him and Teo down that left side of the Milan flank.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're, well, I would imagine they had to have, but their Leal days overlap Celik and Leao, so maybe there was some familiarity there going into the matchup. But they did a great – him and Mancini did a great job keeping Leao silent. We know how dangerous and, frankly, terrifying he can be when he's running at you full steam ahead. But I think he was the league MVP last season, so if I remember correctly. But you can only contain him for so long, because sure enough, yeah, he's the one giving the assist to Salamakers at the end there. Very coldly, not even reacting as Salamaker scored, might I add. But overall, defensively, they did a great job on him, and that's a top tier winger in the league. So week in, week out, if that's the performance that you're going to get out of those two on the right side, more often than not, they're going to be very effective at shutting down the opponent. So I liked what I saw, and I know a lot of people were giving Celik his flowers for keeping Leao contained. And obviously with Karsdorp done for the season, we're going to need more performances like that. So good on him.
Yeah, I'm looking at Leao's numbers now just as you're talking. And, he did have four shot-creating actions, did have the assist in the end. He got the last laugh in terms of getting that goal-creating action that did lead directly to a goal. 13 attempted take-ons, only 7 successful. So they kept him. His dribbling is probably his, scariest trait when you think about it, because he's fast. He comes right at you. He's direct. And they did pretty well. Obviously, players like that, you can only keep them contained so long. And if there was like 4 minutes of stoppage time rather than 5 and it didn't carry on for another minute, maybe Roma gets out without him hurting them. But he did get him in the end. But I have to say, Celik, and I think that is probably part of the reason why he got the start over Zalewski. I think Mourinho in this case knew, like, we have to sacrifice going forward a little bit on that side, because when you have Leao and Teo, who, don't get me started on Teo, he is the biggest diver and complainer in the whole at this point with his ridiculous pink hair. One of my buddies put out a tweet with him the other day saying, when you have training but then you have to go to the Blink 182 concert post training, like, this is what you look like. But with those two tough customers, I think Mourinho realized, like, Zalewski's been getting cooked by lesser attacking threats, and he went with the more defensive player, and maybe Celik's working his way back into Mourinho's good graces, which is going to be important, I think, because Karsdorp looks like he's pretty much done for the year. I haven't seen anything about updates about any return for him at this point. So Celik, I think, could be important going down the stretch, especially with the injuries at the center back position.
Yeah, and can you imagine if Zalewski was going up against
Leao? I'd be worried, and I like Zalewski as a player, but that's not his role. Right?
Yeah,
we've talked about it so many times. Yeah.
That would have been a nightmare to watch for 90 minutes. So
yeah, it could have been a lot more successful carries on his stat sheet on Saturday for sure. Like we said, not much in terms of actual goal creating. But I see Celik though, credited with 2 goal creating actions. He had the assist. I forgot to mention that. He had the assist to Tammy. Tammy gets another big goal. I'm hoping that is a sign of things to come for these last, what do we have, 6 matches remaining, and
some big change ones at that. The Europa League, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a huge goal for him. I talked about it in 3 things a little bit, where it's all you know, we didn't get the result that we wanted, but it's all about the confidence aspect for him. So
100%.
I'm sure it's diminished a little bit given how the result panned out, but he's slowly starting to find some form in front of goal again. And depending on how the result against Inter at the weekend goes, we could start fading out of the top four race in the league, and then you're really going to have to prioritize Europa. So if you have a Tammy that can make a goal out of nothing, as we saw against Milan, that's what you're going to need if you want to win that competition. So I know some people were still getting on him on social media after the game about his performance, but as long as he keeps racking up these goals under his belt along the way, I think come crunch time, he'll deliver some magic for us, hopefully.
Yeah, that's got to be the hope. And just a couple other things. Matic, the guy can still play. I'm looking at the recoveries. He had 7. Pellegrini had 8. I thought Pellegrini had a very overall pretty good game in terms of his work rate.
Yeah. Also a player that's getting some confidence back. And then as for Matic, what a player. I know when he was signed and then early on in his Roma career, we always would talk about his lack of speed and his age and whatnot, but he's been delivering in the big moments. Yeah. And you could, you know, despite his age, the quality is still very apparent. And you can see why Mourinho's brought him along at every stop he's been lately, save for Spurs. So, you know, I think we got another year of him. I think if he keeps it up, you could think about doing one more year, depending on what Mourinho's contract situation is looking at. But similar to Smalling, an unexpected gem.
Yeah, those 34-year-old legs still have it. When he's played, I think, the right amount where he's not overworked at this point, he's been very good. I mean, he's really come on. You can see he's great with the younger players. I know Tahirovic was mentioned because they have the similar Serbian background, and I think it's great to have him around for a player like Bove, who's looking like a pretty decent prospect, Bove, from what we've seen in the time he's played. Pellegrini, you mentioned that the confidence is coming back. My goodness, Tammy made up for it in the end, but I almost forgot to mention, he basically saved a goal on Pellegrini at the beginning of the match. They said, Pellegrini's never scored in 4 straight, and there he is with that point-blank effort, and Tammy just got in the way. I know Tammy's trying to get out of the way, probably thought Pellegrini was going to shoot it low and jumped, and the shot went up toward the roof of the net, and he blocked it. You have to wonder how the match changes if that ball kind of goes in, because Pellegrini, though, another solid performance, I thought.
We can't think about the what-ifs.
The what-ifs.
Got it, because we'll be crying. but, yeah, no, that I had blocked that out of my memory, so thank you for drawing that back out. Yeah, Tammy, that was not covering himself in glory there. And I think the first thing I thought of, because if I recall correctly, City might have played that day, like the game, like earlier in that day or the couple of days before. So their performance was fresh in my mind. I was like, Erling Haaland is not getting in the way of, you know, a Pellegrini shot there. He's waiting for the rebound. So, but it, you know, Tammy redeemed himself scoring, and result may have been different, but I think on the balance of play, we can't really complain. But again, tying it along with the Tammy situation, as you compared it to Pellegrini finding some form this last couple months of the season, is great. And we're going to need him, especially, you know, with Dybala not really being 100%. We're kind of going to need to lean on Pellegrini, as much as that makes me shudder to say sometimes.
Yeah, no question. So, Brandon, before we move on, anything you want to add for the Milan match before we head to the upcoming schedule?
Closing the door on that one.
All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute. All right, so thanks for bearing with us. We have a quick break there, and we're back. Now, Brandon, 2 matches coming up this week. It's 3 2-match weeks in a row coming up. This one is a league fixture. Next couple weeks will be Leverkusen. We'll talk about that when we get there next week. But it's Monza coming up on Wednesday, away mid-table. I think they're up to 9th in the table last check. They're coming off their 3rd straight win, and Rome actually 10th, because Fiorentina won, so they moved ahead of them into 10th. But they are coming off following 4 positive results in a row: 2-2 draw against Udinese on the road, beat Inter at the San Siro 1-0 on April 15th, beat Fiorentina at home 3-2, and then they beat Spezia 2-0 on the road this week. So three positive results on the road, a win at home against Fiorentina. The big one is really Inter, and Fiorentina's been hot too. So those are two really quality wins for them. And now they host Roma on Wednesday, 3 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock, or rather 9 o'clock over in Italy in the evening. So even though this on paper is the easiest of the stretch that includes Atalanta, Milan, Monza, Inter, it's really not that easy of a match.
No, not at all. And when I was doing the highlights and three things after the Milan match, I did look at, you know, the upcoming schedule and where Monza were in the table. And I assumed that they were going to be in the bottom just because I hadn't really been following them. And nope, they're right there, 9th, 10th, as you said. So not going to be an easy game, not a gimme by any means. I saw reports that Solbakken and El Shaarawy could be leading the line up top, which, you know, I think is a bit of a mystery in terms of what we're going to get out of that. But I'm not really worried about being a trap game, quote unquote, just because, you know, Mourinho is getting these guys to treat every game as it's a final. They don't really need to hear it anymore, I'm sure, and they will approach it as such, especially when you got Inter at the weekend, not knowing how that's going to play. So you really need to get the all 3 points in on Wednesday. They're in the middle of a good run of form, so it's going to be tough, but Roma has this, you know, higher quality players, so you think they'll get the job done as long as they take it seriously, which, again, I have no doubt that they will.
Yeah, Roma, the biggest issue I think coming into this one, besides Monza's good form, is the fact that when you look at the injury list, coupled with the fact that Matic picked up his fifth yellow card, so he's suspended. So Roma's going to be without Karsdorp, Smalling, Wijnaldum, potentially, Llorente, Kumbula, Belotti, most likely, and then Matic, and then you have to manage that Wednesday match with a fairly quick turnaround on Saturday against Inter at the Olympico, where that is the match you need to win head-to-head, but you can't drop points at Monza. So that's the conundrum that Mourinho finds himself in. He knows he'll get Matic back rested on Saturday, which is a good thing, but to get there, you like right now, this is what Gazzetta has as their probable formation. Obviously, we're still a couple days out, so things could change, but this just gives you an idea. If they stick with the 3-4, 2-1. It's Rui in goal, obviously. Then it's Mancini, Cristante, Ibanez in the back line. Zalewski and Spinazzola on the wings. So when you think about Matic suspended, Cristante dropping back, Wijnaldum probably questionable at best right now. The center pivot right now is listed as Bove and Kamara. I mean, there's a chance maybe Tahirovic could play as well. But I think the fact Kamara played over him on Saturday says that maybe he's a little bit ahead in the pecking order right now. And then you have Pellegrini and El Shaarawy in support of Abraham. Dybala, they're probably not going to risk him from the beginning. We don't know much he's got in that ankle, and you probably want to save his starting opportunity for Saturday in case there is any kind of relapse. You want to save it as much as you can. So you're looking at a potential bench of Svidar and Bower, the two backup keepers. Selic, Kermitisis, which is the young Greek kid who's going to be filling in on the bench from this Primavera. Tahirovic, Darboe's back. With this team, after he was out with the, I believe, ACL for all that time. Volpato, Dybala, and Solbakken. So very thin bench. Your only real impact players are Dybala and Solbakken there. Maybe Volpato can give you something. And then Celic's really your only option to fill in defense. And you have, like, a young 19-year-old kid in Tahirovic, who is your midfield option there.
Yeah, that's rough when you outline it like that. Yeah. I did... Before you broke it down, I did think Kamara might be a candidate to start, just because with Bove, we don't know how much pain he is in with his shoulder. I'm sure they're going to do pain management as best they can and right up until kickoff, but that's something to keep an eye on as well. But it's tough, especially with that massive, massive match against Inter at the weekend too. But it's like you said, it's a catch-22. You can't. If you beat Monza and then you drop points to Inter or vice versa, it's kind of worthless. So you need two positive results, I think. I don't know though, man. I think it's doable with that projected lineup. It's obviously going to be difficult, but I don't know if you keep it tight and then bring on Dybala Solbakken and co. and hope for a moment of magic. They get to that point, maybe, especially to conserve some energy for Inter on the weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how they play it, if that's how it ends up being. If it does end up being a pairing of El Shaarawy and Solbakken up top, as another report I saw suggested, you know, maybe they go for it at, from right off the bat, and try and take advantage of the technical quality and the athleticism of El Shaarawy and Solbakken. But yeah, I feel like there's enough firepower and offense still to get the job done. It's just a matter of whether the defense and the midfield can keep it together.
Yeah, and I guess the other option becomes, do we drop Pellegrini to the double pivot and let Solbakken, or if Dybala's fit enough, if they want to take that risk, start one of them with El Shaarawy behind Tammy. That's the really only other option I see there if you don't want to play Kamara and Bove. But I think if they're going to take a risk with somebody, they're more apt to take a risk with Bove in this match on the shoulder than Dybala's ankle or Wijnaldum's, I think it was his groin that he had tweaked a little bit against Feyenoord in the return leg. So you're probably looking at Bove more likely, I think, unless you drop Pellegrini back and start Solbakken. And it's such a delicate position for Mourinho because you don't want to start Dybala and then he takes a hard tackle against a provincial side. Somebody's, you know, going in hard, like one of these young kids, and they're trying to make a name and they get him, and then you're out.
That's on Saturday right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only are you out Saturday, you're right. If he has an injury that keeps him out for a few weeks, how do you beat Leverkusen without him in two legs? And it becomes a whole complicated mess. The thing I worry about with teams like Monza, you have an ex in Gianluca Caprari who came through the Roma system, played a little bit early on in his Roma career, though those exes always find ways to bite Roma, it feels like. Michele Di Gregorio was linked today. Brent put the piece up about him being linked to goalkeeper. You never know if he's going to just pull one out of his rear end and make some magical saves to try to earn his way to Rome and in the end cost them 3 points or something. So it's going to be a tricky match. Some talented youngsters like Ravella, Piscinas, you know, star was kind of faded at Atalanta. He's kind of rebounded this year with his hometown side. So there's capable players for sure. And there's a reason why they're in 10th place. And Roma's going to have to play it very carefully, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that, you know, that kind of benefits them to some degree just because they've played so many games like that, so many important games like that where they've had to keep it close, keep it tight, and then look for what you can get when the opportunity presents itself. So I think, you know, it's their backs are against the wall, especially with, you could argue, you know, five drop points over the last two games. So backs are against the wall, can't afford to drop any more points. I think this is exactly the type of game that they know how to play and do so effectively. So this is a huge jinx, but it could be one of those games where they, you know, get a couple of quick ones and then are able to shut it down from there. That remains to be seen. I'm hoping that you invoked enough reverse jinxes when you were describing all the potential pitfalls that await Roma that will be coming out good on the other side.
That would certainly be nice. And I think the thing with a team like Monza too, that could play into Roma's hands a little bit rather than playing like a Hellas or Cremonese who's fighting relegation, is Monza's pretty safe in their position. So they might just try to play a little more free flowing, you know, maybe try to score a couple goals and Roma could hit them on the counter, where like a Hellas who's fighting in tooth and nail for every point is going to be more apt to sit back, force Roma to break him down. Maybe Monza plays a little more open and maybe it helps Roma a little bit going forward too.
Right. Yeah. And that lays right into Mourinho's hands with what he specializes in, hitting teams on the counter. So by all means, Monza, come forward.
Yeah. Come forward, please. Yeah. So that's Wednesday. And then we'll talk just quick about Inter because we won't record again before then. So Inter, it was a 6:30 match yesterday. I woke up probably a little after halftime. I didn't put the game on. I saw Lazio was up 1-0. I was like, okay, maybe not that I want Lazio to win a match, but it's probably more beneficial for us at this point to have Inter drop the points because Lazio was, you know, already a decent distance ahead of us. Well, Inter came back with, I think it was 3 goals in the last like 12 minutes or so. So they're now level with us. So this, if both teams win in the midweek, which is, you know, For Roma, we hope. For Inter, it's very probable since they play at Hellas Verona, who's 18th place. But Verona will be fighting to try to get out of the relegation zone, so maybe that plays to Roma's favor. You know, we're probably going in level on points, but behind on goal differential, and depends what Milan does. So maybe the match of the season at this point, since we dropped 5 points to Atalanta and Milan these last two.
Yeah, it seems like each of the last three games or the last two games have been matches of the season. And so it's another one for Roma to try and make up some ground in the Champions League race. I was on the same page as you, where I was rooting for Lazio going into that matchup. Just if they're going to finish ahead of us, might as well keep on winning. But the difference, you know, the gap is only 4 points between us and them as well. So you have 4 points between four teams, and then you have Atalanta right behind and at 55 points. So it's extremely tight, but yeah, match of the season. And you know, it's as we've said, it's not going to get any easier with the injuries. You hope that you don't pick up any up on the weekend, but it's not the strongest Inter that we've seen. So there still is an opportunity to win the match. Obviously, coming up the following week, both sides have their respective European commitments, but Inter has that huge derby with Milan in Champions League semifinals. So maybe they're slightly distracted in that regard with their preparations, not wanting to get embarrassed in the derby against Milan. Maybe that plays a role to some extent, but as we saw in the match against Lazio, it's a team to be wary of, because Lazio 1-0 up, I think, up until 80th minute or thereabouts.
Yeah, it's close to the 80th minute or so.
Yeah, and so you get hit for three just like that, and it's game over.
And that's a Lazio side that was tied for joint best defensive record heading into that match.
Yeah, flying on confidence, doing very well. And, you know, he's been derided much of the season, but Lukaku's showing signs of life now that his loan spell is coming to an end, and he needs to show some stuff to find himself back at Inter again next season. So one to keep an eye on for sure. And then Lautaro, we know that can always create something out of nothing. So it'll be a huge challenge, but I think they're just as tired as we are at this point in the season. They have bigger fish to fry, so to speak, just a few days after our match. So it's all to play for. It'll be very tough, but I think, again, similar to the Milan match, it's going to be one of those where chances are at a premium. And then, again, it could be one of those decided by an extra time goal.
Yeah, and a lot could change between now and Wednesday evening. And you know, the outlook on that match changes for both sides, depending on the results they get, any potential injuries, and anything that happens at the table around them. So we're going to take one more quick commercial break, and then we will just talk a little bit about the big picture for the last couple minutes of the episode. So stick with us. All right. Thanks for sticking around. So, Brandon, just a quick little chat. Just, I think, because now that the table looks the way it does, we have to spend a couple minutes on this before the two-match week. So this is what the table looks like now. Napoli, clear runaway. They're a point away from clinching their Scudetto. So congratulations to them when it happens this midweek. I'm sure it'll go down. But we have from places 2 through 7 is where it gets so interesting with Serie A right now. Lazio is second on 61 points. Juve is third on 60 now that they have their points back. Inter, Milan, and Roma, 57 points. And Atalanta, 55 points in seventh place. So there is literally between second place and seventh place a 6-point gap. And between fourth and seventh, just a 2-point gap. Roma's right in the thick of it, tied technically on points with Inter and Milan, but they're behind on goal differential to Inter. And then because the head-to-head record is the same, I think Milan has the edge in the table. We have literally the same goal differential. Milan has more goals scored. Roma, fewer goals scored, better defense. And I guess the goal scoring supersedes the defense, I guess, according to what I'm looking at here on the table. So, I mean, let's just do a quick rundown of what these teams have and where the big head-to-heads are. So Roma has Monza Wednesday, we said, Inter Saturday at home. Then it's Leverkusen home, Bologna away, who's been tough, Leverkusen away, Salernitana home, Fiorentina away, and Spezia at home. So when you look at that, We talked about the two coming up. Obviously, Leverkusen's huge. It's a semifinal. Bologna's mid-table, but they took a point off of Juve this past week. They're going to be a tough out. Salernitana is potentially going to be safe by May 22nd with three matches left from relegation. If that's the case, that plays into Roma's favor, I think. Fiorentina, their bigger fish might be the Conference League because they're in the semifinals there. If they can find a way to the final, it'd be literally like right after that Roma match. It's like Roma, if they can make the Europa League final, it'd be right after the Fiorentina match as well. That's May 28th. And then Spezia, their fate could be decided by that last one, or they could be fighting literally for their lives on that last one. So if you're Roma, that could get tricky at the end. We don't have to get to the whole schedule, but anything that jumps out at you there?
I think the Fiorentina match is going to be the diciest once we get past Inter. I think if we can come away with all 3 points against Inter, we'll be really well set up, because I did take a look at some of the other teams' matchups the rest of the way, and they're all of them, save for us, seem to, I think save for Lazio as well, have multiple matches against top six opponents. Yeah. And so prime opportunities for them to drop points. So if you win on Saturday, you're in a great position. You just really have to, I mean, every game is going to be difficult, especially with the injuries that we have. So there certainly will be no gimmies involved. But I think if you had to pick one remaining match in the league to circle on your calendar, I probably would go with the Fiorentina one. But you can't discount those matches against teams fighting tooth and nail to stay up. So they're all going to be tricky, but I think just in terms of who has the most favorable schedule, it's either going to be Roma or Lazio, just because they're not playing a Juve or Milan or Atalanta or Napoli.
Yeah, and I'll run through the other schedule. So everybody's got six league matches left. The advantage Lazio and Atalanta probably have right now is there's no more European commitments for them, so this is their last midweek match coming up. Lazio schedule, they have Sassuolo on Wednesday at home, then they're away to Milan, so we basically flip-flopped opponents with them this week. They're home for Lecce, away for Udinese, home for Cremonese, away to Empoli. So you're right, their schedule outside that Milan match is very favorable. Sassuolo could hit them, you know, some of these other teams could hit them, but certainly you have to like their chances in most of those matches. Going to Juve, who is now third, they host Lecce on Wednesday, then they're away to Atalanta. So you have all six teams in the top six squaring off in some way, shape, or form on between Saturday and Sunday. That'll be very interesting. Juve, like Roma, has the Europa League semifinals. They have Sevilla at home on Thursday the 11th, home for Cremonese, away to Sevilla, away to Empoli, then they have Milan, and then they're away to Udinese. So they have two big head-to-heads in the league, and they have the Sevilla, who's very tough in the Europa League, just ask Manchester United, coming up. So they have a tough one, tough few, and then I'll just give you Inter, Milan, and Atalanta quick, and you can comment any of them that you see maybe working in Roma's favor. And like you mentioned, after Roma, so it's Verona for Inter away, then it's Roma away, then it's Milan, first leg of the Champions League, technically away at the same stadium, obviously. Then it's Sassuolo home, Milan again, then it's Napoli, then it's the Coppa final against Fiorentina, and then it's Atalanta at home, and then it's Torino away. So Inter schedule really jumps out at me. And then just to give you the other two, and then we'll talk about who really might have the toughest time. Milan, Cremonese, and Lazio this week. Then it's the Champions League with Spezia, Samaggio in between. Sampdoria after the second Inter one. Then it's the Juve-Milan match that we mentioned. And then they finish with Verona, who could be fighting for their lives by that one if them and Spezia remain close. And Atalanta, also no Europe. They have Spezia home, Juve home, Salernitana away, Verona home, Inter away, and Monza at home. So Verona might have a say in this. And yeah, after you mention it, looking at those schedules, you're right. I think Roma probably is the second most favorable schedule after Lazio in terms of opponents, because you look at that Inter schedule. My goodness, you throw in the Champions League, you throw in the Coppa final. It's going to be rough.
Yeah, if they are able to qualify for top four, you know, just hats off to them with that schedule, because that sounds absolutely brutal. And then Atalanta as well, they play two of the big boys. Juve as well, so it's really shaping up nicely to Roma with for Roma and Lazio, but obviously for the Roma perspective, that's, you know, a win on Saturday against Inter would just set them up so nicely for the stretch run. I'm sure that's been communicated to them as well, or will be prior to the match. You know, it's guys, just give me everything these next two games, and then we'll be able to regroup, so to speak, and tackle the last portion of our season on a strong note. But yeah, I do like our chances. It just really depends on how the match shakes out Saturday.
Yeah, like you said, if they get those 3 points, they put Inter in a tough spot, because Inter's really going to have to rotate squads, because if Inter does get by Milan in the semifinals, you add another match for them against either Real Madrid or Manchester City. So that's another thing for them to worry about on top of the Copa final. So as good as it is when you're a club fighting for trophies, everybody wants trophies, right? You'll take the Coppa Italia trophy if you're Inter. They already won the Supercoppa against Milan head-to-head. They'll certainly take their chances in one-off final if they can get there. You're always going to take your chances. But if you lose that one-off final, it does damage them potentially in the league. Same thing happens with Roma in the Europa League. Same thing with Juve in the Europa League and Milan in the Champions League. So that's the balance those four managers are going to have to play. And it's going to get very interesting. And after looking at the dates on those calendars, this Saturday jumps out because, like we said, you have Juve Atalanta, Inter Roma, and Milan Lazio. And then on the 28th, you saw that you have Juve against Milan and Inter against Atalanta. And Roma also plays Fiorentina, who's no pushover. So those would be the two big weekends, I think, where like head-to-heads really stand out.
Yeah. And it seems in recent history, Roma's always been the side that doesn't capitalize on those weekends where there's these Inter top four, top six matchups. So it'll be huge for them. This season, Roma have made some strides when those opportunities have presented themselves. But as you said, the table could look completely different this time next week.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember you saying, I think it was 2 weeks ago when we were on before the Atalanta match, if Roma could take a win and two draws, it'd probably be enough in this stretch.
Yeah.
Now a win, a draw, and a loss might be enough, depending on how the rest of these matches shake out. It'll at least keep them joint fourth with Milan at the very worst,
right?
Depending on how the other results go.
Yeah, and then at the time, I said, if you are going to take a loss, it can only be the Atalanta one.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. I think both of us would probably take a draw on Saturday against Inter, but we know how huge a win would be. But we're pretty, we're decently close to coming out of this stretch being like, Roma did okay. They're not, too bad off.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I think we'll end there. It's going to be a lot of fun to stay tuned. We will have all of our regular match coverage for both matches this week. Keep an eye out. Hopefully, Roma gets the win Wednesday and then really sets up a showdown against Inter on Saturday. If Inter somehow slips up and Roma wins on the midweek, then it really becomes a huge match for Roma to really maybe put Inter sort of in the rearview mirror. It's hard to say that completely, but with four matches left, we'll put him in a very advantageous position. And then we'll have all the rest of the coverage next week with Leverkusen and everything. So we're going to be busy at the site. We'll be busy here on the podcast. We'll definitely be back early next week to break down the Inter match, to talk Leverkusen. So anything you want to leave the listeners with, Brandon?
Nope. No predictions for me on this one. We're just going to keep our fingers crossed and reconvene next week.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.